Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
In a moment, Congressman Edward Markey joins us to talk about the future of nuclear energy in New England.
But first, heads in Massachusetts are still spinning a day after one of the Commonwealth's largest employers announced it's moving more than 1,000 jobs out of state.
Fidelity Investments says it will empty out its Marlborough campus, reassigning most of the jobs to its offices in New Hampshire and Rhode Island. The announcement seemed to take everyone by surprise, including Governor Deval Patrick, who is still in the United Kingdom on a trade mission.
Also caught by surprise was Nancy Stevens, the three-term mayor of Marlborough, who we spoke to a short while ago.
Thank you for having me.
How did you hear about this news about Fidelity, and what was your first reaction?
Actually, I got an email from Congressman Jim McGovern's chief of staff first thing yesterday morning, and that was the first I had heard anything. Had not had any contact with the company at all.
Well, more than 1,000 jobs leaving, that's quite a blow. How big a blow is it?
You know, I'm not sure exactly how many of the employees actually live in the city of Marlborough, but right down the road we have a lot of businesses that depend on our commuter traffic. We have some strip malls that are right down the end with a lot of restaurants, and if you go at lunchtime, those plazas are packed, and we have gyms, we have dry cleaning companies and things like that. It's going to have a big impact, a ripple effect on a lot of our services and our restaurants.
Sure. Now, Marlborough is a reasonably prosperous city, 38,000 people, a median household income above the state average. You're positioned right on 495, right off the Mass Pike. Your residents have access to all of the high-tech jobs in the Metro West area.
Absolutely.
So I guess my question is, this is a blow, but maybe not as big a blow as if you were out there all by yourselves and this was like the only major employer in the area.
No, obviously we are home to a lot of large companies, Hologic, Ken's Foods, Boston Scientific, and you're right, we are positioned very well location-wise, but we also are a very business-friendly community. One of my initiatives when I first took office was to make sure that a priority was to attract and retain businesses.
Any ideas about what the city of Marlborough could have done or the state of Massachusetts could have done to retain Fidelity?
I wish I did. Their business practices are such that they make their internal decisions and they're not looking for outside influence. And that was the message I got yesterday, that, you know, we're making our decisions based on our business and we don't want to waste anyone's time because we're going to do what we need to do for our business plan.
Well, Mayor Stevens, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's Nancy Stevens, the mayor of the city of Marlborough, talking about Fidelity Investments' decision to relocate 1,100 employees to Rhode Island and New Hampshire. Now, soon after Fidelity announced their split yesterday, observers in Massachusetts started wondering, was it something we did? WBUR's business and technology reporter Kurt Nickisch has been looking into that question today, and he's with us now. Hi, Kurt.
Hi.
So as we just heard from Mayor Stevens, Fidelity seemed to surprise just about everyone and has been pretty tight-lipped about this move so far. What are you hearing?
Well, Fidelity is always kind of notoriously opaque about its internal affairs. And so far, just statements from the company. It's been hard to talk to anybody from the company.
And what are the statements saying? What are they saying, at least officially, about this?
Tons of business speak underlying their reasons for making these moves, which is consolidation of their operations.
So any sense at all that the state could have done more to keep them here?
Doesn't sound like it. I mean, any company, if it feels like it has the chance or wants to tap into some sort of public benefit, will reach out and try to do that. So it's very interesting that Fidelity just decided it didn't even need to waste anyone's time and made the decision it did. So in that sense, it must have been pretty apparent benefits to move people out of Massachusetts.
We should stress, of course, that Fidelity is keeping their Boston headquarters, of course. But Kurt, is this a classic case of a Massachusetts company just fleeing for lower taxes and lower cost of living?
That seems to be the biggest reason, especially when you want to move some of your employees to New Hampshire, where the tax climate is very favorable. But you don't necessarily have that same benefit moving them to Rhode Island, where there's still a 9% corporate tax rate. There are high personal taxes there, too. I think other business questions played into this decision. Partly the fact that they could sell the Marlboro building once they vacated that, and they may have had longer-term leases at these other two locations. It's also, honestly, good for companies to have employees in different states and not have too many eggs in one basket. It helps for diversifying and mitigating risk.
Kurt, what about political reaction in Massachusetts? What's been going on? What have you been hearing?
It's so interesting to see the very polar reactions to this decision from Fidelity. On the one hand, you have the Senate Republican leader, Richard Tesei, saying this is another example of how Massachusetts has an anti-business climate and it's forcing companies to flee the state. Contrast that with Stephen Grossman, this very populist new state treasurer that we have. He wants to punish Fidelity for moving these employees away, and he wants to take some of the state accounts that Fidelity manages away from Fidelity's custody. So I think this kind of gets at the heart of this tension we have in the state, where we really haven't figured out how we want to have tax policy play into how we keep businesses in Massachusetts.
Well, interesting story. Thanks very much. That's Kurt Nikisch, WBUR's business and technology reporter. Thanks for coming in, Kurt.
Sure thing.
Well, from the financial services industry in Massachusetts to news today on the nascent Federal Consumer Financial Protection Bureau in Washington.
The House held its first oversight hearing of the agency today, and House Republicans blasted the agency for lacking accountability and putting too much power in the hands of one person.
That person, Harvard economist Elizabeth Warren, President Obama's pick to head the agency. Warren testified today and provided a spirited defense.
If there had been a cop on the beat with the authority to hold mortgage servicers accountable a half dozen years ago, if there had been a consumer agency in place, the problems in mortgage servicing would have been exposed early and fixed while they were still small, long before they became a national scandal. The mortgage servicing problem illustrates the importance of fair, consistent, enforced enforcement. We need a cop on the beat that American families can count on. It is critical that we get this right, a real cop on the beat.
And that's Harvard economist Elizabeth Warren speaking earlier today on Capitol Hill, defending the newly formed Consumer Financial Protection Agency.
Well, coming up after the break, the nuclear power crisis in Japan has reignited the debate over nuclear power right here in New England. We'll discuss the safety and future of power from nuclear power plants with Congressman Ed Markey. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.